To be with you here this morning, we want to express our thanks to you as a church, because for the last 6 years, Diane and I have used your basement most Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays after school to just do a program for inner city boys and girls to teach them and help them with their schoolwork. That program is called Say Yes. And this past week, 6 of our Say Yes kids graduated from grade 7. And that's an accomplishment for First Nations boys and girls. Many of them have real difficulties in school, and some of them are still struggling. And so we are looking forward to what God's going to do through them.
You might have to reboot, I don't know.
No, I just have to do this. It's searching. No.
Okay, let me hit the sync button.
Sometimes ours at New Beginnings does this as well.
I think the problem is changing sources.
So, we have had the joy these past 15 years working together with New Beginnings. And Pastor Joe Russell and I share the leadership of New Beginnings. And I am the preaching pastor at New Beginnings, and so I do most of the preaching and teaching. And this has been an exciting year for us. God has answered prayers in some very specific ways. And we have seen Him at work and providing us with a place to meet and worship. We were given the opportunity to rent a church building in East Vancouver at Woodland and Francis, right in the heart of the First Nations community. And then as we took over to rent that building, they said, "Why don't you buy it?" And we said, "Well, we have no money. That's one reason." And so we prayed about it. We asked God, and God provided in miraculous ways and allowed us to purchase that building, and now we have a place that we can minister from. Right across the street from us is a huge city park. And last Sunday we had a barbecue in that park and invited the neighbors to come, and we had over 300 people who came and took part in that barbecue for the day. And so we just really appreciate the prayers and the support that the Fellowship Baptist Churches in the Vancouver area have given to New Beginnings as well and to our ministry. Diane and I are actually missionaries. We work with First Nations people, and we just celebrated 31 years of working here in the city of Vancouver with First Nations people. And as far as I know, I'm the longest serving urban missionary to First Nations people in Canada. There aren't very many people who stay in cities very long. And we've been here so long, we feel like we're a part of the city. So, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 28. At New Beginnings, I am preaching on a series through David. And you've missed the first 5 messages, but today we're in 1 Samuel chapter 28. And this is an account in Scripture of a very tragic event. It's an event when God did not speak, and the choice that King Saul made. And I want to read this chapter to us this morning, and then we're going to look into God's Word together here. 1 Samuel chapter 28. Now it came about in those days that the Philistines gathered their armed camps for war to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, "Know assuredly that you will go out with me in the camp, you and your men." David said to Achish, "Very well. You shall know what your servant can do." So Achish said to David, "Very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life." Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, his own city. And Saul had removed from the land those who were mediums and spiritists. So the Philistines gathered together and came and camped in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they camped in Gilboa. When Saul saw the camp of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. When Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. Then Saul said to his servant, "Seek for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go and inquire of her." And his servant said to him, "Behold, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor." Then Saul disguised himself by putting on other clothes and went, he and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, "Conjure up for me, please, and bring up to for me whom I shall name to you." But the woman said to him, "Behold, you know that what Saul has done. Now he has cut off those who are mediums and spiritists from the land. Why are you then laying a snare for my life to bring about my death?" Saul vowed to her by the Lord, saying, "As the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing." Then the woman said, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" And he said, "Bring up Samuel for me." When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, "Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul." The king said to her, "Do not be afraid. But what do you see?" And the woman said to Saul, "I see a divine being." It's a small g god. "Coming up out of the earth." And he said to her, "What is his form?" And she said, "An old man who is coming up, and he's wrapped with a robe." And Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground and did homage. Then Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" And Saul answered, "I am greatly distressed, for the Philistines are waging war against me, and God has departed from me, and no longer answers me either through prophets or by dreams. Therefore I have called you that you may make known to me what I should do." Samuel said, "Why then do you ask me, since the Lord has departed from you, and you have become and has become your adversary? The Lord has done accordingly as he spoke through me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and has given it to your neighbor, to David. As you did not obey the Lord and did not execute his fierce wrath on Amalek, so the day the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also give over Israel along with you into the hands of the Philistines. Therefore, tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. Indeed, the Lord will give over the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines." Then Saul immediately fell full length upon the ground and was very afraid because of the words of Samuel. Also there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no food all day and all night. The woman came to Saul and saw that he was terrified and said to him, "Behold, your maidservant has obeyed you, and I have taken my life into my hand and have listened to your words which you spoke to me. So now also, please listen to the voice of your maidservant. Let me set a piece of bread before you that you may eat and have strength when you go on your way." But he refused and said, "I will not eat." However, his servants together with the woman urged him, and he listened to them. So he arose from the ground and sat on the bed. The woman had a fattened calf in the house, and she quickly slaughtered it and took flour and kneaded it and baked unleavened bread from it. She brought it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. Then they arose and went away that night. This is a tragic story. of a man who dealt with a lot of fear in his life because of his disobedience to God. Let me ask us a question. Why do we pray? Why, as Christians, do we count prayer as such a precious thing? First of all, I think it's because we believe God will answer. The Bible promises us that He will hear and will answer our prayers. He's also commanded us to pray. He's told us that we should pray constantly, that we should be in communication with Him on a constant basis. And He's promised us that He will hear our prayers. And when we pray, we exercise our faith in God. And we say, God, I believe in You. I trust in You. And God answers our prayers. But what do we do when He doesn't answer? This is a question in ministry that I often face. You know, why doesn't God answer my prayers? And sometimes people come to believe some things that are not true. They believe that God has abandoned them, that He's left us for some reason. And, you know, we talk about God leaving us when we don't feel Him close to us. And yet, as we sang this morning, we said, draw me close to You. Never let me go. And He's promised never to forsake us. Sometimes we believe that maybe God's angry with us. I grew up in a church. First time I went to church, I was 6 days old, and I've been in church ever since. And I just turned 60. So I've been in church for a long time. And growing up, I accepted Christ as my Savior when I was 7. But you know, sometimes I thought, I know Jesus loves me, but I didn't feel like He liked me very much. And sometimes I felt God was angry with me. And so He wouldn't listen to my prayer. Why would He listen to me? He's mad at me. Sometimes we believe that God's forgotten us, that He's too busy with the big people. You know, He's too busy with the big churches to forget about us little churches. And so maybe God doesn't hear our prayers because He's too busy. He's forgotten about us. Or sometimes people believe that God doesn't want to help us. How many times do we hear that expression, God helps those who help themselves? You know, that's found in Hezekiah 14, verse 3. That's not in your Bible, in case you don't know. But God says He's an ever-present help. And yet people believe that God doesn't want to help us. They believe that God is not good. Many people say, how could God be good? Look at all the evil in the world. Look at all the problems that there are. How could God be good? Well, the truth is, these are the devil's lies. And yet sometimes, even as followers of Jesus Christ, we can listen to those devil's lies. And we can believe them. And we lose our faith in God. Not we lose our salvation, we can't lose that. But our faith in God slips. And so God says, I want you to know that I do hear, I do answer prayer. But what about Saul? Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 28, let me set the scene for you. David had fled from Saul trying to kill him. He'd been running and hiding in caves. Several times had close confrontations with Saul. had opportunities to kill Saul. And yet David said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to lift my hand against the Lord's anointed. He was faithful to God. And yet, in the chapters just prior to this one, we find that David began to rationalize. He began to think in his own way. He didn't consult the Lord, and he ran to get away from Saul. He said, I'm going to go live with the Philistines. I'm going to go live with the people who are the enemies of God. And he went down to the city of Gath. Do you know about that city? That was the city of Goliath, the giant that David had killed. And yet David said, I'm going to go to that city. I'm going to go to Gath, and I'm going to go to Achish, the king of Gath, and I'm going to say, I will serve you. And he'd been living in among the Philistines in a little town called Ziklag. And as he went out, he would go out and make raids on some of the communities that were actually a part of the land of Israel, but they were actually communities of the Canaanite people. And he would go and make raids on those cities, and he would come back with lots of spoil, lots of goods. And the king thought, he's going out and he's making himself an enemy of Israel. He's going out and he's saying, I am an enemy of Israel because I'm fighting these cities that belong to Saul. And yet, David didn't leave any survivors to tell what he was really doing. He was deceiving the king. And now in this chapter it says that the Philistines went out to make war against Israel. And now David was about to join them, to go with them to fight against his own people. And in all this time, David was not consulting the Lord. He was not seeking God's direction. And Achish said, David, I trust you so much, I'm going to make you my bodyguard. You're going to be responsible for my life. Over all the lords of the Philistines and all the armies of the Philistines, he said, I'm going to trust you. And David had that kind of position with King Achish. But King Saul had a dilemma. As the Philistines came out and set up their armies against him, the Bible tells us here that Saul went out and he set up his army. He camped at Gilboa. And it says in verse 3 that Samuel was dead. It reminds us of something that happened a few chapters earlier. Chapter 25, Samuel died. And there's just a verse there that says he died and they mourned him and they buried him. This great man who was a prophet of God. And under Saul's kingship, Samuel had been pushed aside by the people of Israel. And now they're in trouble. They're going out to war, and Samuel was dead. And Saul had removed those who were mediums and spiritists from the land. He'd done some things that God wanted him to do. He'd done some things that were right. Stuck. Well, technology may freeze on us here, but that's okay. As Saul went out, he had done that. He'd removed the mediums from the land. But it says here in verse 6 that when Saul inquired of the Lord, the Lord did not answer him. either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. Saul didn't get an answer when he sought God and he prayed. Nothing came. God didn't send him a prophet. God didn't come and speak to him and say, yes, go out against the Philistines. I'll give you the victory. And so Saul got frustrated. He got discouraged. He got centered on his problem. His problem was the Philistines. And so he said, what can I do? What dilemma? What can answer my dilemma? And so he said to his servants, he said, seek out for me a woman who is a medium. Verse 7. These who were spiritists, who tried to contact the dead, to speak to people who were living on behalf of the dead. Saul had removed them from the land. And yet he said, go and find me one. Find me someone who can seek out an answer for me from the dead. And his servants knew where there was a woman, a medium, at Endor. And so we find that Saul disguised himself. He put on other clothes. This man who was head and shoulders taller than everybody else in the land of Israel. That's like trying to disguise a sore thumb, I think. He stuck out in the crowd. And yet he said, I'm going to disguise myself. So he put on old clothes, other clothes, and went to this woman. And he went to her at night. It's interesting that those who seek spirits practice their craft at night, trying to hide in the darkness. And Saul came in the dark to this woman, and he said, seek out for me a spirit. Call up for me whomever I ask for. And the woman protested. She wanted to be sure she was safe doing this. I don't know that she was suspicious about who this was, but she said, you know that's against the law. Saul's made it illegal for me to do that. And look what Saul says to her. Verse 10. Saul vowed to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. He invoked a vow in God's name that he would not harm her for doing this practice that God said is totally against me. And then she went ahead. She performed her ceremony. And she said, you know, I see someone coming. And when she saw Samuel coming, she cried out with a loud voice. She screamed. She was terrified. Why? Because I believe that this was actually Samuel coming. It was not her ordinary experience. It was not the way she normally saw a spirit come. This one she realized was actually Samuel coming from the grave. And it terrified her. She was filled with fear. And she cried out and she said, why have you deceived me? You are Saul. She recognized him. And Saul said to her, don't be afraid. What do you see? And what she saw was Samuel She said, I see a God. Elohim is the Hebrew word. It's like a God that's coming. This isn't a spirit, an evil spirit that's coming that she was used to impersonating those who were dead. This was actually Samuel coming. And she said, I see him coming up out of the earth. And Saul said, what is his form? He's like an old man wrapped in a robe. And Saul knew that it was Samuel. He was convinced that it was Samuel coming. And he bowed down on the ground. And when Samuel came, Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me? Why have you called me back to this earth? You know, when a believer in Christ dies, we go to a better place than this, to a place of rest, to a place where we will be with God. We'll be face to face with Jesus. And Samuel said, I don't want to leave that place. You've disturbed me to call me back here. But Saul said, Samuel, I need you. He said, I am greatly distressed, for the Philistines have made war against me. I'm in trouble, Saul said, and I'm fearful. I don't know what to do. I need your advice. You know, when Samuel gave Saul advice about what God wanted him to do, Saul didn't do it. He didn't listen. And then Samuel says to him, why do you ask me? Since the Lord has departed from you and has become your adversary. Verse 16. Samuel said, Saul, you're fighting against God. God has become your enemy. He's departed from you. The Lord has done what he said he would do. Samuel says in verse 17, he's done what he said through me. He's torn the kingdom out of your hand and he's given it to your neighbor, to David. Saul had already realized that God had chosen David to be the next king. That's why he was hunting him, trying to kill him, trying to get rid of him, to save his kingdom, to hang on to what he had. And he couldn't touch David. But Samuel said, God's chosen David. He's going to give the kingdom to your neighbor, to David. Verse 18, as you did not obey the Lord when you did not execute his fierce wrath on Amalek, so the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Saul, there's a consequence for your sin. God is not going to answer your prayer. He's not going to speak because of your sin, your disobedience to him. And then he said, not only that, verse 19, the Lord is going to give Israel into the hands of the Philistines. Therefore, tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. Samuel said, you're going to die. You're going to be with me in paradise. I think Saul believed in God. His salvation was trusting in God. But his character and his walk were evil. But Samuel said, you're going to be with me tomorrow. You know, we don't go on a journey and wander around in space trying to find our way to God. He said, you're going to be with me tomorrow. On that very day, he said, you and your sons. Indeed, the Lord will give over the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. The news he got was not good. And Saul's response in verse 20 to verse 22, he fell on the ground. His heart was filled with terror. He had no strength in him. It was drained. He said, I can't do anything. And when the woman and his servants offered him help, he refused it at first. But you know, as I look at this passage, I see what Saul could have done. He could have repented. He could have acknowledged his sin and his failure. But he didn't. He didn't turn to God and cry out to God. He realized that he could not do that. And so, in closing, I want to give you four reasons why God does not answer our prayer. Why doesn't God answer? In Psalm 66, verse 18, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Sin blocks our access to God. Even as believers in Christ, as we walk with Him, if we allow sin to come into our life and we allow it to be a part of our life, God says, I'm not going to hear your prayer. I'm not going to listen. Just like when we have a child who disobeys. As parents, sometimes we have to say, no, I'm not going to listen to your requests for ice cream at the store or treats. You know, we're not going to get the good things when you're disobedient. We're not going to listen to those. But God always hears the cry of a humble heart. He hears the cry of repentance. When we come to Him and we cry out and say, God, I have sinned. 1 John 1:9 tells us He's faithful and just and will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we come to Him with a repentant heart, God always listens. But if we regard iniquity, it says, the Lord won't hear me. 1 Chronicles chapter 10. The account of this story in the book of Chronicles tells us in verse 13 and 14 that Saul died for his trespasses which he committed against the Lord because of the word of the Lord which he did not keep, and also because he asked the counsel of a medium, making inquiry of it, and did not inquire of the Lord. There it says, Saul didn't inquire of the Lord. It says that the Lord didn't speak to him through dreams or prophets or the Urim, the breastplate of the priests. But when he talked to Samuel, he said, God hasn't spoken to me by dreams or by prophets. He left the priests out of it. He didn't go and talk to them. Maybe because he'd murdered many of them. But he said, you know, God says he didn't even ask. He didn't come and inquire of the Lord. He went on his own strength, on his own wisdom. Therefore, God killed him and turned the kingdom of David to David, the son of Jesse. Saul didn't get his prayer answered because he didn't ask, and because of his sin. Another verse, James chapter 4, verse 3, says, you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasure. We live in a pleasure-driven society. People want to have fun. They want to do things that are pleasurable. They want to be entertained. And so people begin to focus on, what does it do for me? My pleasure. And if we're not careful, our prayer life could be like that too. We can view God as the great Santa Claus. Come, give me, give me, give me. And God says, we pray, we ask, but we don't get because we ask with wrong motives. We need to check our motives to be sure that when we ask God, He's going to hear because our motives are right. Fourth passage is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Speaking to husbands. Peter says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them, with your wife, according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Our relationships with others can hinder our prayers. Husbands especially. God says it's our responsibility to honor our wives. Ladies, when it says the weaker vessel, it doesn't mean that you are less important. It means you are fine china. We are clay pots. We both hold flowers. You just hold them better than we do. And God says, as husbands, we need to honor our wives like fine china. We treat them with gentleness, with respect, with honor. Otherwise, our prayers are hindered. Our relationships with each other can hinder our prayers. You know, when there's division in the church, and people begin to fight among ourselves. Of course, we never do that here, but in other churches, right? That hinders our prayers. God doesn't hear. He says, first, when you come and offer your gift at the altar, and you remember that your brother has something against you, what do? You go and make it right with him first, then come and present your offering to the Lord. Our relationships with each other are just as important as our relationship with God. God says our prayers are hindered when our relationships are not right. So what do we do when God is silent? First of all, we need to examine ourselves. We need to take a good look at ourselves. We need to repent of sin that's in our life, that we're hanging on to. We need to say, God, I repent of this. I turn from it. I turn to you. We need to check our motives. Make sure they are right. And then we need to inspect our relationships to check out how are we doing with other believers, other members of our family. How are things between us? Then we need to ask in faith. James chapter 1 verse 6 says that we should ask in faith without doubting. God will hear and will answer our prayers. He wants to. He desires to answer our prayers. But he says, ask in faith. Don't doubt. Can God do it? One of the greatest blessings that the purchase of the church building for New Beginnings has been, it has increased the faith of our people. Can God provide enough money to buy a building in East Vancouver for a group of people who are low income? Yes, He can. God is not poor. And God can pour out His blessings. And our people have said, God can do anything. You know, we can trust Him. We can ask Him for help. And then in closing, the psalmist David said in Psalm 40, verse 1, that we are to wait patiently on the Lord. Saul didn't wait. He's driven by the urgent. The Philistines are coming against me. I can't wait for God. He'd done that before. He rushed ahead and offered a sacrifice because Samuel was late. He hadn't come. He was an impetuous person. God says we need to wait patiently for him. He will hear our prayers. He will answer when we call upon him with a pure heart and with right motives and right relationships with each other. Let's pray. Father, this morning we thank you that you do hear and answer prayer. That you are a God who is alive. And that even this morning you are here in this room. And Lord, as we cry out to you with the needs of our hearts, you hear, you care, and you will act. If we come and ask in faith, believing with pure hearts, and with right relationships with others. Lord, we want to come before you, humbling ourselves, because you are worthy of our worship. And Lord, as we obey you, may we see your powerful hand use us as a tool to bring many to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For his glory. Amen.